This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. Sci-Fi Noise is a part of the Deliberate Noise Network. Check out deliberatenoise.com. There you'll find links to all the shows in the Deliberate Noise Network. Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, now this is just going to be... Okay. 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 This is going to be a relatively short show. Basically, all I really want to talk about is Stargate SG-1. I finally finished the first season, well, most of the first season. I just got bored with it. I got bored with it in the beginning, and so I skipped several episodes. So I finally got to the end, and I want to say the last three or four episodes are actually pretty good, because they were no longer doing the whole one and done type style of storytelling that just drives me crazy sometimes. I understand the purpose of a one and done story. Number one, they're probably easier to fit into the overall mythology of things. Especially back then, I don't think that, was it 2001, I believe, maybe 2000. They really didn't care too much about big overarching storylines that tell, that, you know, encompass all of the mythology of the show. So I can understand why the show was the way it was. That said, I'm really not a big fan of one and done. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not a really huge Star Trek fan. Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek Deep Space Nine is probably my favorite. And to a lesser extent, Star Trek, the other one, Enterprise, because they had like ongoing story, you know, ongoing subplots that actually led somewhere. But for the most part, it's just the one and done is meant so that you are familiarized with the characters and what they stand for and the overall purpose of the setting, okay? There are a lot of one-and-done stories in the early seasons of Babylon 5, and Babylon 5 tried to fit into its mythology a little bit more than anything else that I can think of. But mostly you're just introduced to what these characters are about, how they would react in certain circumstances, and most of all, what the overall purpose is for what it is they do. So like I said, I can understand them, but they just, that stuff just gets boring. You know, the third or fourth time you see an alien planet that's in dire straits and, you know, somebody's about to die, even though you know for a fact that none of the lead characters are going to die, and the next episode, this thing that has, like, consumed them, you know, we've got to save this planet, and they save the planet, and then next week, next episode, none of that matters. They completely forgot, oh, yeah, you know, we saved this planet, you know? The story really started to get good for me, and this is going to be spoiler-filled. I'm not spoiler filled, but it's just going to give you basic outlines and where the story is going and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you haven't seen it or if you're watching the early episodes, trying to make it through those early episodes, this is what you have to look forward to. There's one where Daniel goes into a different dimension. And when he's there, he sees that the Gauld is coming and they're destroying Earth. He makes it back to his planet and he's warning everybody, hey, this is what's going to happen. And that's where the show starts to get good again. However, the first episode after he's back is a clip show. All right. It is a fancy clip show, but it's a clip show. It's one of those deals where there's a senator who, I think it was on the Ways and Means Committee or something like that, Armed Services maybe. And he's trying to figure out if the Stargate project needs to continue. No, it's up to him. He's the one who recommends whether or not it is. And so this is one of those episodes where I think I mentioned it like maybe a couple of episodes ago. This is an episode that is basically an interrogation episode. Okay. Remember how I told you how you have usually have one character sit in a room and somebody's trying to figure out where's he going, what's going on, and he's going back into his past, basically. And that's what they were doing. This was an interrogation. You had one interrogator talking to four or five people, and in order to flesh out what they, you know, the argument for why it should be kept around, they're using clips from previous shows, and he's also using clips to say, well, you know what? You brought a disease to the planet, you know, one of those type of deals. And, of course, he shuts down the Stargate project, which, quite frankly, if I was a senator, I'd say, hey, you know, shut this thing down too. However, the next one, the Gauld is coming, and so the SG-1 team basically, hello and welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. You can send email to Derek at deliberatenoise.com. That's D-E-R-E-K. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. Now, I have not had a show up for a while, but I have been watching a lot of TV, I now have a TV podcast called TV Noise at, deliberatenoise.com/TV. And so that's why I have been, watching a lot of TV. And it's also why I haven't been doing a bunch of my other podcasts, it's a lot of TV that I watch. And then to take the TV that I watch, make notes, and then record the show, that is taking up a lot more time than I thought it was going to be. I originally thought it was going to be like at most a weekly show, but with the amount of TV that I watch, it's turned out to be like a daily show. Anyway, but there was a couple of shows that I'm probably going to talk about on TV Noise that I wanted to mention here simply because they're sci-fi related. Probably going a little bit greater detail here. Yes, you can hear me going through my notes. Very, very, very unprofessional. especially since I can't find the notes that I wanted to look at. Oh, well. Anyway, where the hell is it? Oh, boy. Suppose I could edit this out, but anyway. All right. I talked about this a little bit on episode 6, but I want to talk about Warehouse 13. Warehouse 13, as you know, I mentioned this before, is a show that I really wasn't all that fond of when it first came out, but it kind of grew on me, you know. The first few episodes, I don't know what it is with me in first few episodes of new shows that I watch, but if they don't grab me right away, then they really run the risk of losing me altogether. But with Warehouse 13, I watched the first few episodes, and it kind of reminded me of the television show, Friday the 13th, the TV show, the TV series, I believe. And basically what that show was about was this pair of investigators, kind of, who worked, kind of, for an antique shop. And basically, there I go again using the word basically, sorry. What they had to do is hunt down, I don't know if they were called artifacts or objects or what, but there were some cursed objects that were in the hands of, like, regular people. And these, this pair of investigators had to go and first figure out what the cursed object was, what it did, and then get it away from the person before it killed them, right? I think that it was kind of tangentially related to the Friday the 13th movie because I think we're trying to say that the hockey mask, the goalie mask, whatever kind of mask it is that Jason Voorhees was wearing, was what gave him his freakish abilities. I think that's how it was. They never really said why they called it Friday the 13th, because if they had the show where it just happened to coincide that these things would go crazy every Friday the 13th, that might be a little bit more meaningful to the title, but they never said that either. But it didn't matter because it lasted like a couple of years. But it was a show that I watched on syndication every now and then that I disliked every time I watched it. Don't know why I went back for more, but I usually did. And so, armed with those bad memories and bad associations with Friday the 13th, when you have Warehouse 13, it would have taken a lot to really win me over. And those first few episodes just didn't do it for me. You know, I was like, okay, this is Friday the 13th with cyberpunk gadgets, basically. And I was just, I just wasn't having it, all right? I just thought, okay, this is dumb. I forgot what happened. Now I remember. I was just bored one night. I was bored, and it was on, and I watched it, the season finale. I watched the season finale, and I thought, wow, it did get good towards the end, you know? And so then I went back and I watched it. Watched the few episodes that I missed leading up to that point. I was like, okay, this is pretty good. The season finale cliffhanger was good enough to bring me back the next season. I watched this past season, and it was really good. The worst of the episodes from this season were still better to me than all except for maybe the season finale of last year. So to me, they really improved. Unfortunately, I know for a fact that the I want to say that the lowest rated episode from last season would be like the second or third highest rated episode of this season. I mean, because it's really taken a pounding in the ratings. They had this season finale, and I thought it was a really good season finale. You know, it kind of gave the show an almost a definitive ending type feeling in case they don't come back next season. This works on both of those levels, because some season finales don't work. If you have a cliffhanger on a season finale, if you have a really huge cliffhanger and you don't have payoff, that will ruin, let's just say, your show's legacy if it doesn't get picked up again. Right? And they probably say, well, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. It will ruin it for the people who did watch the show. For example, it was a television show back in the late 80s, I believe, called Crime Story. It was the show that really launched the career of Dennis Farina and Anthony Dennison and Stephen Lang. Now, Dennis Farina, if you know any kind of crime / cop drama, he was in like most of them during the 90s, all right? He was just always around. Tony Dennison is actually on the show, the Closer on TNT, which is not sci-fi related, but it is a very popular show. And Stephen Lang was the bad guy from the movie Avatar, you know, the James Cameron Dances with Smurfs movie. He was the guy who was trying to destroy everything. And the funny thing is when he was on the show, Crime Story, he was a nebbish little cop. Not even a cop, he was a lawyer. He was a district attorney, you know, and he was a guy who, I don't know, he's a bit of a wimp, all right, and stuff happens, but anyway, the first season ended with Tony Dennison's character, Ray Luca, and his partner in crime, Paulie, escaping from police custody and hiding out in the desert, okay. They ended up hiding in this house that was fully furnished. And not only was it fully furnished, but there were mannequins, you know? If you saw Indiana Jones and the Crystal Kingdom skull, whatever, then you know where I'm headed for it. Yeah, they were at Yucca Flats, and they were right in the middle of a bomb, right? And that's how they ended the first season. These guys getting in the car like, oh, my God, do you know where we are? And they're taking off, and they're driving. Now, they were close enough to the blast to be affected, but not close enough to the blast to be killed, which makes a lot more sense than hiding in a refrigerator, if you ask me, right? So that's how they ended with the cliffhanger, because we didn't know that until the next season. But these guys are driving, they get in a car, they're driving away, and boom, there's an atomic bomb going off. That's how you do a cliffhanger. All right, because it worked in both ways. They could have ended the series and it never came back, or when it came back, they were just going to have to explain what happened, and that's what happened. They came back, they explained what happened, and then they set off on a whole bunch of different stories. Right. Now, the second season is where it ended, and then this one, you had all the main characters were on an airplane. And the airplane, you know, they were fighting for control, and the airplane crashes into the sea. Okay? And then that's how it ended. That was the end of the series, and there was no resolution ever. And to me, that was a bad example of a season finale. In fact, now that I think about it, the last season for Warehouse 13, its season's finale was a bad one, because we didn't know what happened to the characters, right? I blame Empire Strikes Back for that, because you end it with, you end a movie or a season wondering what happened to some of your favorite characters, and if it never comes back, then you're always left with that open-ended question. When if you just go ahead and resolve it, a good writer will figure out a way to make a cliffhanger work. The last season's cliffhanger for Warehouse 13, to me, it kind of worked because it got me into the show, but didn't really if the show never came back. This time, there is a slight cliffhanger because we don't know what's going to happen with one of the characters, but at the same time, if they were to end the show, it would be satisfactory to me. Alright. Now, yeah. There's still some stories they could tell if they decide to, and if they don't, life goes on, you know. So that's one of the shows I watched. Eureka is a great show. I'm just going to flat out say that. And I love the way that this season progressed, right? It's almost like they knew that after, three seasons that things were kind of getting stale and they wanted to shake it up. But I don't know if they actually told anybody ahead of time that they were going to shake things up this drastically in this way. And they did, and it worked. I don't like time travel stories. Everybody knows that. But this one, it kind of worked because it was just, it didn't really present the whole concept of alternate realities, because let's face it, that's what they did. They left their reality, they went back in time, and they came back. When they came back to the future, they were in a whole different one where all these things were different. So, yeah, that's what happened. And I believe, and I'm going to go out on them, but when you have something like that in your original reality, you just disappeared. You know, you're just gone. Anyway, but yeah, that's what I like. I like the way that they did that. I like the way that they pretty much gave the whole show a shot in the arm, you know. And if they bring it back next season, there's still some unanswered questions. It's just really, really good stuff. Really, really like Eureka. But I don't really have notes on it because it ended before I decided to start TV Noise. Now, The Event is a show that for some reason has like split a lot of the people that I know. Some people thought that it was slow and nothing happened. I think the big thing is The Event was uneventful. I saw the pilot episode, someone I watched so far, and I don't know what the hell these people are talking about. There was a lot of stuff that happened in that first episode. Like I said on TV Noise, I can see how it could be frustrating because it would build up to a it would start telling a story, it would start going along a plot thread, and all of a sudden it would just stop right before the action started. Now, if you read the comic book series Countdown, then you know that that was one of my big problems with it. Like, every time it got to the good part, it would cut away. However, with Countdown,
I'm going to go.